This is our parental warning. We do sometimes swear on these podcasts, and this is one of the podcasts that we ended up swearing on. Just wanted to give you a warning in case you were listening with your children. And if you don't hear this warning at the beginning of a podcast, that means it is child safe.
After the last episode, it occurred to me that there's another Waiting for the Sun that I could have tried to trip you up with, which of course would be the Doors classic Waiting for the Sun, but instead I went for Last Dance with Mary Jane, which you apparently hate. So
I'm anti-petty.
I don't get that personally, but okay, well, I guess we can explore that some other time. But hey, welcome back to this Minnesota Sports Fans Unfiltered show, the Minnesota Sports FU show, where misery loves company. It's Nick with Lonnie and Brandon, and it's a late night edition of the Sports Fan Show. It is live on MNSPN.com. Please feel free to call in and talk to us. Anything that's on your mind about Minnesota sports is what we want to be talking about. So give us a call, tweet at us. We will read your tweets. We will talk to you, entertain your takes, your thoughts, your rants, your jives, your jokes, whatever it is. But you got to call in first for that to happen. The number to call is 612-294-0413. Again, that's 612-294-0413. Lonnie, what's going on in your neck of the woods, buddy?
Oh, not too much, Nick. Just kind of enjoying what sounds to be a promising forecast for the weekend that got off on a good note today. It was a really beautiful day here in the Twin Cities. So, looking forward to finally maybe a little bit of summer getting here.
Actually, what it sounded to me like was that there was some kind of a train convention going on in your backyard a few minutes ago. Are we done with that at this point, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. That was just the 9:15 that rolls through the East Metro. So I think we should be good at least for another hour and a half or so.
Outstanding. Hey, so the Minnesota Twins still are not awful. And you know, we're still not materially far enough, I would say, into the season that it's worth going crazy about. But they're playing better on both sides of the ball. I know you were there on opening day. Have you been back to the ballpark since then, or have you watched them on TV or listened to the radio, or are you just at this point, whatever was working for them, you're going to keep doing it, and if that means stay away, stay away?
No, I've not been back to Target Field since opening day, but I have been enjoying watching, like I've said, I've enjoyed watching a competent brand of baseball that we're at least seeing. And, in fact, I pushed a couple more chips into the center of the table this morning, right before noon, and hooked up my annual MLB at-bat subscription, only to find that my lack of preparation saw me paying $3 today to listen to...
An 8-5 loss.
Yeah. To listen to who's the pitcher that just got sent down today? Gibson. So I wasn't happy. A little buyer's remorse about 12:15 when I tuned in to hear that Kyle Gibson had taken the mound. But after struggling again today, the Twins announced that they have sent him down. So he'll be heading your way out to Rochester. And hopefully... They haven't announced the call-up yet as of Thursday evening as we record, but hopefully it'll be Berrios, and we'll see how he does.
Yeah. Well, I'll let the Rochester Annie Savoy know that he's on his way. She probably knew before I did, but hopefully she can work with him. Maybe we'll be calling him Nuke by the end of the summer. That would be sweet for many reasons. All right. Well, hey, so it's always, you know, it's been cool here in the last couple of weeks or last week or so. So it's made me long for baseball weather because there just is nothing better in the summer than hanging out at the ballpark in the sun, the sights and sounds and smells of the game, and sometimes of other bodily issues from fans. But baseball is a great way to spend an afternoon in the summertime. So it would be a lot of fun if the Twins gave us something to be interested in or keep our attention this summer. Speaking of averting disasters, let's talk about our guy Tony Hoagland, your State Farm agent, our State Farm agent in Champlin. Right now, one in three drivers is cruising around in a state of skepticism about just how much value their car insurance company is delivering. If you are one of them, State Farm agent Tony Hoagland in Champlin can help you get to a better state, because he'll talk with you, listen to you, and help you put together a policy that has you written all over it, from cost all the way to coverage, and all backed by 24/7 customer support. Feeling less skeptical? Then call State Farm agent Tony Hoagland in Champlin and officially get to a better state with State Farm. You can get Tony and his team at 763-421-4900. Tony, as you probably know, Lonnie, is on Twitter and was a not infrequent communicator with at least the filter throughout the hockey season. So he's got a keen eye and a bit of a sense of humor too. So that's all. I enjoy a sense of humor in my insurance agent. What about you?
I completely agree. And also that read that you just did, I would put that up against Yotter any day of the week.
Oh, we got to make this happen. We got to talk to Jim and make this happen. We need a Yotter versus Nick head-to-head read, sponsored, of course, by Tony Hoagland. That would be sweet. So I appreciate that. It makes you feel all tingly and funny in my stomach. So thanks for that. All right. So, hey, you know, we did talk, you know, it's relatively quiet outside of baseball right now. So, you know, we were talking about what to talk about tonight. We're discussing what to talk about tonight and came upon the idea of discussing the definition of the modern definition, let's say, of the dynasty in sports. And I recall at least Jim and Russo talking about this a bit, you know, sort of here and there in the past as different topics came up. But it's an interesting discussion because my thesis anyway, and we'll get into it certainly, but my thesis is that the definition probably should have changed at least for several of the four major sports, with the exception maybe being basketball, the NBA. But because it's there's certainly arguments on both sides of this, and then your definition in and of itself can be unique. What do you think? Let's spend some time chatting about this tonight, Lonnie.
Let's go.
All right, let's do it. So let me give you, we don't want to go too heavy in the numbers here. We're not that show, but let me give you some numbers to sort of set the table, right? So, for example, I looked at the last 10 seasons for each of the four major sports leagues, so NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, and I counted the number of different teams to have appeared in the final, in the championship series, right? So for the NHL, 15 of the 30 teams in the league have appeared at least once in the Stanley Cup finals in the last 10 seasons, 50%. MLB, 13 of the 30 teams. NFL, 13 of the 32 teams. NBA, 10 of the 30 teams. So my point there would be, boy, only a third of the teams in the NBA have made it as far as the finals. And yet, as we know, the NBA has the same as the NHL in terms of odds of making the playoffs, 16 of 30 in both cases. So you have the highest odds of making the playoffs of any of the four major teams. Is there something animal growling at you?
I think that's somebody firing up their Harley.
Ah, it sounded like the beast from Ghostbusters that goes crazy at the party. I thought it was Zool for a second coming to get you.
I actually kind of was a little bit nervous about that myself until it got a little bit louder and became clear that it was not some sort of four-legged animal coming to terrorize me.
We're just gonna tell Brandon, if all of a sudden Lonnie starts asking for the Keymaster, just shut down the show. That's gonna be a problem. All right. So anyway, back to the point. Before Zool raised his lovely singing voice to us. So 53.3% of the teams in the NBA and the NHL make the playoffs. And yet only, given those odds, yet only 10 different teams in the NBA have made the finals in the last decade. Can you draw anything out of that, do you think? Or is that just a coincidence? Because the other side of the NBA is that, you know, I mean, you look at the Celtics, right? They won in 57, 59 through 66, 68, 69, right? So the NBA definitely has the highest concentration of back-to-back or better winners. So teams that have won, you know, more than once in a row. So is the NBA just a thin league?
Well, I think it also, I think that also might speak to, I mean, in, you know, basketball, there's what, five players per side on the floor at a time. And the best player on a basketball team is going to have the ball in their hands almost every trip down the court. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you kind of, and the NBA has been a league of superstars, right? Yeah. Traditionally. So, I mean, it makes sense that LeBron, you know, LeBron is the guy now. And it makes sense that, you know, his team is consistently in the finals. Yeah. And I think, you know, maybe the Warriors and Steph Curry is also an example of that to a far lesser degree. But, yeah, I think that just speaks to how dominating one player can be in basketball.
So getting
and,
back
and that, to, go ahead. And that goes back years, though, right? There's always, not always, but for many years, there's been one dominant player, right? Whether it's right. LeBron now, you know, Shaq and Kobe maybe before him.
Jordan and Pip.
Larry, Michael, and Magic.
Yeah.
You know, going all the way back to the early 80s, so... you know, that maybe speaks to that a little bit.
So what's interesting to me also, though, is that the second the league of those four with the second highest percentage of the teams in the league appearing in the championship series the last decade was at Major League Baseball. And what's particularly interesting about that to me is that that, of course, of those four leagues, you've got the lowest odds of making the playoffs, right? 10 of 30 teams make the playoffs every season. I think because they added the extra wild card playing team, right? So that speaks to greater parity, obviously. But it is also, you know, there's a lot of different players on a baseball roster, not as many as football, but, does that speak to just parity in baseball, or is it baseball so much harder that it's just harder to build up that dominant team anymore now that we have such established and evolved free agency in all sports?
Well, I think in the case of baseball, and you kind of hit on it, I think that third layer of playoff games with the wild card, that has really taken a toll as far as teams, you know, like the 87 Twins, I think you could definitely say was a lightning in the, you know, they caught the proverbial lightning in a bottle, you know, and got hot for, you know, 3 weeks or a month or whatever, however long the playoffs lasted. Mm-hmm. I think when you throw those wild card scenarios in and the extra games that it takes to get there, I think that takes a little bit of that, you know, one team getting hot at the exact right time. It kind of takes that out of the equation. What do you think?
No, I agree. But I guess the question is that easier to, and you sort of alluded to this perhaps, but is that easier to happen in the NBA game than it is in baseball or hockey or football? And maybe your point earlier about the one dominant player and the fewer number of players on the playing surface, although one fewer than the NHL, right? But still, maybe that allows that to happen, because clearly NBA has a greater number of dynastic runs as a percentage of their overall seasons, I would say, than the other sports. So can you extrapolate your point there to and apply it to the NBA?
Well, I think the NBA is just so much less random than. Than all the other sports. I mean, they still, you know, they still have what, best of five in the first round with 1-8. And yeah, it seems like the, you know, the number one team just absolutely hog smacks the eighth seed in three games every single time. And I'm not the, certainly not the biggest NBA fan, but, and it very well could have happened since then. But the only time I ever remember a number eight seed beating the number one seed in the first round was the Denver Nuggets and Dikembe Mutombe rolling around with the basketball on the ground. That's, yeah. It's just it's so much less random than the other sports.
That's a good point. That is a good point. And I wonder if such a high number of scoring opportunities and conversion rate as part of the natural, like the natural stat basis for that sport, helps sort of smooth out the any of the other non-random or any of the sort of wild card aspects in the overall outcome sort of, I don't know, process. That was a lot of weird words. Okay, so we did ask this on Twitter. How do you define a dynasty in sports today? Got some great responses. Actually, at MN Sports Fans Pod, we got a couple of responses. At Beantown Baseball replied, "See Massachusetts sports." Great reply. And look, in the NFL, which has eight different dynastic runs, so more than one season in a row for the same team winning the championship, New England is 5-2 in the past 13 Super Bowls. So they've made more than half of the last 13 Super Bowls. That's an incredible run. Regardless of the fact that they're not 7-0 in that run, and they didn't get there every time, but boy, with the way injuries are in the NFL and also the average length of career being as short as it is in the NFL relative certainly to the other sports, to be there half years of any stretch of 13 years is I think pretty remarkable. And then we already talked about the Celtics in the NBA. The Celtics, of course, have, I think it's, 17 championships or something like that throughout their entire existence. I mean, that's strong. So, and you know, Boston Bruins, Boston Red Sox. So, yeah, Massachusetts sports. Why is Mass and Boston and New England in general? Is that just that can't be coincidence, right?
Well, I mean, okay, so I can't really speak to the basketball or the hockey side of it, but I mean, look at the Patriots and look at the Red Sox. I mean, you've got traditionally, you know, one of, if not the highest payrolls in all of baseball.
Right.
So just by that virtue alone, any sort of management with any level of competency whatsoever should be able to put a competitive team on the field year after year. And as far as the Patriots go, I mean, that's just the kind of a deal where Belichick is, he's like Ed Henry from Remember the Titans. He's like so far ahead of everybody else. And then when you combine that with having one of, if not the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history, I mean, just those two alone, you know, those two are kind of the common denominators that have been there through the entire dynasty. Now, I guess I probably, that's one team that I probably would use the term dynasty on, but I would also say that kind of in this day and age, I don't think there are dynasties anymore so much as I would consider them to be model franchises.
Okay, and what does that mean? Define that for me.
To me, that means that that is the franchise that they're the gold standard that everybody looks to and everybody tries to see how they measure up against them. So I would say I would say the Patriots are the model franchise pretty much for all sports, not even so much football. But I think all franchises aspire to be the New England Patriots. I think for hockey, I don't know, maybe you're looking at the Blackhawks as the model franchise right now.
Yep. I'm sorry. We got cut there. So go, you were talking about the Patriots for a second.
Oh, yeah. So I think the Patriots are the model franchise that I think sports teams in all leagues aspire to be. Now, I think in hockey, if there is such a thing as a model franchise, I would consider it to be probably the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yep.
In basketball, I would say it's, gosh, that's a tough one. In basketball, I might go off the board and say the San Antonio Spurs, maybe.
Okay.
Popovich seems to have it dialed in and kind of almost seems like he's the NBA's version of Belichick.
Yep. Yeah, I would agree with that.
And for baseball, gosh, that's a tough one for baseball. I don't know, maybe the Cardinals?
Or the
San Francisco Giants? What do you think?
Or wherever Theo Epstein happens to hang his hat at this season.
There is that. But Theo's good. He's fantastic. I mean, let's be honest. He's awesome. But does he have a little bit of Phil Jackson in him?
In what way? That he wins?
In the way that Phil Jackson was smart enough to coach two of the greatest dynasties ever based on having Michael Jordan in Chicago and Shaq and Kobe in L.A.?
I don't know. I bet he doesn't smoke as much J as Phil does. Does.
I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah.
But well. I guess to Theo's credit, you know, I guess there were people in Boston for many years that weren't able to make it happen before he got there. And I guess you could say the same thing now that he's in Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Right. Hey, I think our friend Heather Rule is on the line. Heather, are you there? Or maybe not. Okay. So we'll try to get Heather again. She had been trying to get in with us. So so here's another stat. Here's another stat to jump off from on this one. The last time we had at least a back to back winner in each league, 97-98 for the NHL with the Red Wings, 97-99 with MLB with the Yankees. 2012-2013 with the Heat in the NBA, and 2004-05 with the Patriots for the NFL. So interesting to me, for whatever reason, I think this is pure coincidence, but that for hockey and baseball, it was the same, basically the same year. So, but again, I think the coincidence there, or the bigger note there, is that, again, the NBA shows up with the most recent back-to-back winner. That was Miami. So, you know, I just all these numbers in the aggregate here point to the NBA being the easiest league to repeat in. Scott, is that you?
It is. It is indeed.
What's going on, brother?
Well, I got a couple things, and I don't want to derail the conversation, so I'll wait until you get done with all your numbers, Nick.
No. Hey, we're here for you, man. That's what we do. So I was just giving numbers until you came on. So you tell me what you want to talk about.
Okay. Well, first, I got to tell you, I was impressed with the prep work that you've done. I've been listening to sports radio, from 9 to noon a lot, and there's no prep work. So you had a lot of numbers there. I would just ask you this question. Did you say that the NBA or the Major League Baseball has the highest percentage of teams that make the playoffs?
Lowest.
Oh, well, so I'm sure Lonnie's gloating over that then. Because, I mean, clearly the answer is spend enough. And I know he's gloating about 14 and 12. So if you have anything to say, Lonnie, I will listen right now. But that's not why I called.
Okay, why'd you call?
I called because, and I know you ranted on Twitter about this, and talked about it on the other podcast, but I didn't get to call in because I'm banned sometimes.
What? You're never banned? Quote, what are you talking about?
Well, I don't know. Okay. Maybe I exaggerated. This report from Russo that players were bitching and moaning about having to stay in a hotel one night.
Yeah.
Is just pathetic.
Yes.
We will never have a cup here. We will never, ever have a Stanley Cup here if that's the attitude. I don't know who it was. I have some ideas I'm not going to say, but, I mean, that is absurd. People play with broken legs in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I got some guy who's bitching and moaning to stay at, I guess, I'm sure, was at the St. Paul, which is a 5-star hotel. Anything you want, anytime you want it. Right?
Yep.
This is just disgusting to me. I am so pissed.
I agree, man. Now, wait, so Lonnie, hang on a second. You heard that, didn't you? I thought you said that you heard or thought that Russo said that it was not the kids. So alluding that it was the veterans, right? Or a veteran.
That was the way that I heard it. But Scott, are you telling me you can't relate to guys being upset about staying in a hotel during a very lengthy 5-game playoff series? You're taking issue with that?
In your hometown? Yeah. I mean, I would never do it in my job. For sure. But, you know, I mean, everyone's different, I guess.
Yeah. All right. What else? What you see? You had something else you said, Scotty?
So, yes, a couple other things real quick. I was on, after the Wild loss, I was on the Let Chuck Go bandwagon. Yeah. But I don't know what that accomplishes other than he doesn't sign Koivu to another 3-year extension. But other than that, what's the next GM going to do? I mean, they're in a box.
Yeah, but why should, okay, so but my, I agree with you, and right now, and as I said, I have to caveat it by saying you don't do it unless there's a viable alternative out there who wants to come here, granted, but my whole point was, why does he get another kick at the can? I know that the other guy comes into a bad situation. Chuck came into a bad situation because of all the dicking around that Reiser had done before he got here. Right? So Correct. Coming into a bad situation, very infrequently do you get to come into a good situation if you're replacing somebody who got fired. So part of the job of being a GM is coming in and cleaning up somebody else's spilt milk. So I'm just tired. I'm tired of him getting another kick at the can when he's proven, in my opinion, conclusively that he can't kick the can very well to begin with.
I would actually disagree. I would disagree that if somebody came in here, I think if somebody came in from the outside, they'd be coming into a great situation.
Well, okay, but it's a great situation with guys who bitch when they have to stay in a hotel before a home game in the playoffs. I mean, it's a great regular season situation.
Okay, maybe I should elaborate on what I consider to be a great situation. So if they brought somebody in from the outside, that guy would be... Okay, so the big issue is that Fletcher is kind of painted himself into a corner with the roster and its rigidity and lack of flexibility, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
With all the no move clauses and everything else, right? So he's kind of boxed himself in. So if you bring somebody else in from the outside, that guy is probably for at least a couple of years, that guy's Teflon. Because he's been brought in and he can't really do a whole heck of a lot. And, I mean, the big five are still in the pipeline and you're getting closer every day, right? So you bring somebody in from the outside, I think he's sitting in the catbird seat.
Okay, I don't disagree with that. But Chuck was also in Teflon the first few years for basically the same reason. And he was so Teflon that he was allowed to hire and fire 3 junior achiever Cub Scout head coaches in their first time ever before he was even considered to be maybe a little bit not Teflon. And according to Leopold, he's still Teflon. So I don't disagree with what you're saying, but all I'm saying is Chuck's had all those same opportunities to this point, and we're still treading water here.
Yep. Yeah. So I would just jump in and say this is a rare opportunity in the podcast life of us that I agree with both of you.
Oh, jeez.
I agree with you, Nick. Screw it. Why does he get another chance? And then I also agree with Lonnie that next guy that comes in, if he's a name, if Russo endorses him, he's got carte blanche for probably 3 or 4 years But those 3 or 4 years or 2 or 3 years are going to probably suck.
Well, and that's the thing, guys.
And this year sucked, too, which goes back to my earlier conversation with you guys that this season was an absolute failure.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Agreed.
That you got 100 and some points?
No, it doesn't matter. Not when you do that in the playoffs for the fifth straight season. If this was 5 years, if my whole point was, if this was 5 years ago, the first year they made the playoffs and that was all cute and great, fine. Maybe that was acceptable. But 5 years in, the only thing that matters is improving in the playoffs.
I mean, I don't know. This is what we've talked about many times, boys, about raising the bar here. And I couldn't agree with you more, Nick,
than that.
You're absolutely right.
You are never in the penalty box in this show, Scott. You are always welcome. We will always take your call as long as we can make the tech work. What do you got?
Wait, hold on. I got one more thing.
Two things, go.
Really, really quick. First, I know you guys are interested. Ferrari has won 2 of the first 4 F1 races, so that's great.
Yep.
And second, I'm just wondering what your opinion was of Denny Willett's play over the weekend at the Masters. We can forget Danny Willett.
Yep.
You missed cuts. You will never forget. Don't ever talk about Minnesota again.
That is beautiful. That is, oh God. That's why you're never banned on this show, Scott, is for rants like that. Well done, my friend. Thanks for calling up with me, boys.
I love it.
Great show. Always great to talk to you, brother. Keep calling. Thank you so much. Be good, and we'll see you out there. Take care.
All right,
hey
Scott from Edina, bring in the noise like he always does.
Like the pro that he is.
Speaking of Formula One, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we have a Formula One expert waiting in the wings here.
I believe so. Heather, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Waiting patiently. How was the ballpark today?
It was good. It was a little long, you know, your standard 3-hour and 48-minute game.
Ouch.
You know,
lost.
I was going to say that that thing just wrap up with
Kyle Gibson
struggling today.
Yeah. And I tweeted tonight too. I said, you know, it's so much easier driving home, you know, at midnight after the games instead of, you know, these noon starts sometimes on the weekdays.
It takes
an hour to get home in rush hour. You know, at least if they would have ended, you know, 2.5-3 hour game, I'd be kind of on the early side, might be okay. But, you know, and of course it's all about me and my, you know, driving home. That's all we should care about. So
Heather, I've got 2 questions for you because it's been too long since we've had you on the show. And we always like hearing what you have to say. So 2 questions for you. One about the Twins. We know that you break down the game really well, but as a fan, what's your impression of this team? Like, how are you feeling about this team so far, 26 or whatever it is games into the season?
I think people should be enjoying what they've been seeing so far the first month of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I think after last year, expectations were just at the bottom. It was a terrible year. And I think coming in this year, then, you know, there's kind of this, well, there's nowhere to go but up. And, you know, it kind of doesn't matter what they do in, you know, a lot of people's eyes because people aren't seeing, you know, a playoff team or, you know, it's not like the Wild or some of the other teams where it's okay, we have all these great players and we're going to make a run. And, you know, I wouldn't necessarily, I don't know if I'd qualify it as rebuilding. I think with Falvey and Levine, you have a little bit of kind of that rebuilding mentality in the back of your mind that, you know, they're going to come in here and try to do things, you know, their way. And so we're going to kind of wait and see what they do. Which I think is good, but, you know, I think then it just kind of, you know, there's no real expectations there for the season. And I think if you're seeing some good baseball, like we've seen from the Twins so far this year, that's going to be a good thing. You know, you've seen Sano just hit the cover off the ball. You've seen Irvin Santana have this ERA that is just insanely low, which, you know, at the same time is, you know, you can acknowledge that that's not really sustainable. You know, Sano is not going to hit a home run every single game or, you know, four four and five games or whatever. And, you know, Santana's probably going to throw a clunker once in a while. I mean, that happens. But I think just enjoying the game so far. The Twins were in first place yesterday.
That's what Lonnie said, yeah, for like 10 minutes.
Know, in the division. So, you know, and the defense, too. I know people have talked a lot about the defense, catches from Byron Buxton, and, you know, Snow hasn't had a ball fall on his head in, you know, a pop-up at third base. So, you know, just stuff like that has been good to see. And, you know, some series victories during the season 4-0. It's amazing how, you know, these games still, every game, you know, matters. 162, it doesn't make any difference if you win a game in April or September, but at the same time, it kind of does, because getting off to a poor start like they did last year, and
right,
like other teams this year, like Kansas City, for instance,
right,
you know, they're off to a bad start. You know, it really sets the tone for the rest of the season, and looking at things within the organization and trades. And but, you know, if you're playing well, then it kind of changes things the other way, too. So I think it's just been fun to really watch them so far and just kind of enjoy the wins as they've come.
Yeah, for sure. And that 0-9 start last year just ruined the entire season.
Yep.
It just killed it.
It was pretty much done after those 9 games. You know, even the home opener, because I think they had the first 6 games on the road and they lost the home opener, and it was just kind of like, well, there goes that too. You know, it was just another, you know, they didn't even get to 0-9 yet, but it was just another indicator, like, is this really it? Like, are we just done, you know, after,
right,
you know, 6-7 games into the season? And, you know, they didn't really recover from that, which, you know, it's too bad that really in April, you know that your season's pretty much done, or there's no chance to compete for anything, or, you know, a wild card or anything like that. I mean, it's tough to see, you know, the season end so quickly.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. And there had been speculation for, you know, a couple of years, not the year before when they won 84 games or whatever it was, but the several years up to that, when they struggled so bad, there was just speculation about Terry Ryan and kind of where the direction that management was going to be going. And between that 0-9 start and just the fact that you kind of knew Terry Ryan was just about, you know, on the tail end of his run, it's like, just get it over with and let's turn the page and get moving. So I'm enjoying the fact that I feel like they're going in the right direction right now.
All right, Heather, hang with us, because we're getting heavy on time, but I want to get to my other question for you. So we're going to do that in the form of final thoughts. So if you got a couple minutes, we're going to take you through to the end of the show here. By way of final thoughts, I want to get each of your definitions of modern day sports dynasties. Like, what is your, if you crystallize it into your 30-second definition of what it means, like what it takes to be a dynasty, and if it's back to back, if it's, you know, more than one championship in a row, more than one championship in a concentrated period of time, whatever it is, that's what we're going to ask for final thoughts tonight. We got, like I said, we did get some great comments on Twitter, both on the show's account and on the Filter account. We thank you for those. We thank you to Scott for calling in, as always. We encourage others of you to tweet us, to call in. That's what the show is for. It's a better show when the Heathers of the world call in, when the Scots of the world call in, and it's not just me and Lonnie and Cujo. But that was the dog thing, not Curtis Joseph, but in case that wasn't obvious. But all right, so let's get into final thoughts. Heather, you're the guest. You go first. What, as far as final thought, what is your definition of a dynasty in modern day sports?
Well, I don't know that I've necessarily put too much thought into this. That's a good question. I think I would probably say it wouldn't have to be championships in a row necessarily. Like, you wouldn't have to win, you know, back to back or 3 in a row to be considered a dynasty. But I think the, you know, winning a few championships within a few years, like maybe you have 1 or 2 years, you know, where you don't win. But if you win like I don't know, you know, whatever the number is you want, like 3 and 5 years, or in 10 years, if you win, I don't know, even, you know, 4 or 5, you know, something like that where you've won. I mean, even 2, I guess, in my mind is still pretty good if you win a couple within even a decade. I mean, to me, just because, you know, how competitive sports are and how, you know, there's so many teams that, you know, you look at the championship droughts out there with teams. And so you see how good it is when a team can win. So I think, I mean, if you could just win, I guess, multiple championships or, you know, yeah, I think, I mean, the 3 and 5 years, you know, I have the Blackhawks come to mind. You know, the San Francisco Giants for baseball kept getting, you know, into the World Series. I guess the Patriots with the Super Bowls, maybe.
But, five in the last 13. That would,
So I guess that would kind of be my thoughts on that.
As always, so well said. Lonnie, what's your definition of a dynasty in modern day sports?
I'm just going to kind of rehash my earlier point. I don't believe there are dynasties in the modern day. I believe in model franchises. I believe that the St. Louis Cardinals or the San Francisco Giants would be it for baseball. I would agree with Heather that the Chicago Blackhawks are probably it for hockey.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say the San Antonio Spurs for basketball, and the model franchise for not only the NFL, but for teams across all sports is clearly the New England Patriots.
Agree. Yeah, well said. I'm going to read my favorite comment from the ones we got on Twitter was from Engstrom MN at Engstrom MN says, "Dynasty is a relic of sports fandom. The modern business side of sports has made the idea mostly obsolete and then in parens salary cap." And I think that's where I was getting at when I asked the question was, I don't think you can expect, I just can't see the Celtics runs of whatever it was, 8 and 10 years or whatever it was, ever again in any sport, be it free agency, be it injuries, be it how young and the turnover, things like that from year to year, team to team within a given league. So I agree with you guys. I think that maybe the old timers and, you know, like the Royces of the world can argue that the only way you can be a dynasty is if you win championships. But, and that's why I said the modern definition, but to Engstrom MN's point, you know, I think, and to what, based on what you're saying, I agree. I think 3 Stanley Cups in 6 years for Chicago is about as close as you're going to get nowadays to a dynasty in modern day NHL. I don't think you're going to see the Habs win 5 straight, or any team win 5 straight like the Habs did in the 70s again, or 4 straight in the 80s with them, and then with the Islanders, or 4 and 5 years with the Oilers. I just don't think you're going to see that anymore. So maybe the golden age of the true dynastic performance is over, but the closest you're going to get is things like that, or things like, you know, what Pop has done in the NBA over his career. And, you know, just the fact that in football, the Patriots have been in 7 of the last 13 Super Bowls, that is astounding. And so that's where I come in. So great job, Engstrom MN. Thank you for that comment on Twitter. Thank you to everybody who commented on Twitter, especially to Heather and to Scott for calling in. Another fun episode of the Minnesota Sports Fans Unfiltered Show. You can hear this and all the shows on MNSPN.com. Thank you to Brandon, for Lonnie, Heather, Scott. This is Nick. We will be back with you again soon.
Michael Russo on an exclusive 10-day trip, July 12th through the 21st, on an enchanting vacation to Scotland and Ireland. Define Destinations and MNSPN have teamed up to bring you this trip, which includes numerous meals, fun tours, as well as tasting some of the best scotch and whiskeys around. You'll check out distilleries, visit where Guinness is made, see the famous Loch Ness, and experience local culture, plus much, much more. Define Destinations does all the work. You have all the fun. Visit DefineDestinations.com or call 651-398-9358. That's 651-398-9358 for more details. DefineDestinations.com.